Welcome to the Scottish Football Coaching Podcast, taking you around the country, shedding light on the work of the Scottish FA from grassroots to coach development, and taking a look at the future of our game. In the latest edition of the Scottish Football Coaching Podcast, Lewis Irons and Greg Patterson are joined by Champions League winner Costinha, who has played under the likes of Jose Mourinho and Luis Felipe Scolari, as he talks about his coaching journey. Another edition of the Scottish Football Coaching Podcast with myself, Lewis Irons, and Greg Patterson from the Scottish FA. And I'm absolutely thrilled to say we're joined by a man whose accolades are too great to even go through all in this introduction, but he's lifted the Champions League. He's represented his country, over 50 caps for Portugal. It's none other than Costinha, who's gone through the coaching badges, Greg, about to be graduating from the pro licence, and here he is on this podcast with us. What a pleasure it is, Costa, to have you today.
Thank you very much. It's also my pleasure to be with you, Greg, talk about whatever you wanted to talk about. Because I was delighted this past 4 or 5 years that I was in Scotland doing my badges. I met amazing people, and I'm for sure a better coach and a better man. So it will be my pleasure.
Greg, it's not often that we get a Champions League winner on the podcast. It's certainly a first for us, and what an honour it is.
No, absolutely is. And I've got to know Costa reasonably well over the past kind of two and a half years as he's been doing the pro licence. Of course, he's done more than that with us. He started at the B licence into the A licence and then eventually the pro licence. So it's been absolutely magnificent to have someone of his stature throughout that pathway on our courses.
I guess, Costa, before we get started fully then, it'd be good to, just from a personal level, get an update on how you're doing, of course, amid all this uncertainty that's going on in the world at the moment.
Well, you know, it's not easy to deal because you don't know when this virus is going to end. Even if you have all the precautions, you can't be sure that you are safe. But I think we all try to stay at home. We all try to be closer to the family, because in my job I'm always away from them. So I kind of miss staying with my children and my wife. So I for the moment I'm just enjoying them, and I'm doing also other kind of work. So we have all the technology today with us, so I can speak with my assistants. Like, we can see games, we can see players, we can discuss future drillings for our next coaching team. So it was not bad. I think the most difficult is you can't go outside, you cannot go and see your father and mother, your friends. This is the most difficult, but this is one episode in the world that we have to go through, and we have to be patient, and we have to be confident.
Yeah, you're right. As it's presenting a lot of challenges for everybody, and it's the sooner it's over, the better. I'm sure that we all echo those sentiments. And Greg, I guess before we hear from Costa himself, you know, when looking ahead to this podcast, the things I want to talk about, first and foremost, we talk about, you know, from a coaching perspective, and everybody that's fortunate to listen to Costa today that's aspiring to be a coach, we'll have a lot to learn. But first and foremost, just as football fans, as people passionate about the game, I'm sure there's so much that you want to talk about with a man like Costa.
It's brilliant, and he's got some great stories. But the lovely thing about Costa is has been on, and he's been through two different pro license groups, you know, because I hope he doesn't mind me saying that he had to jump in on a second pro license to make up kind of for lost time in the first group. And he's kind of taken like a fish to water with both of the groups. You know, he just becomes part of the group, and, you know, it's as if no, everybody's known him all his life. You know, if I look back on the last group that he probably spent limited time with, then, you know, he starts up WhatsApp groups, he gets them all chatting, you can see them all around mobile phones. He's talking about the goal he scored at Ibrox, winding up the Rangers fans in the group. You know, so it just becomes part of the group, which is just absolutely fantastic, given, you know, as you say, everything that he's done and achieved in the game. And then, yeah, like I know a bit of his, through the pro licence, I know a bit of his ideology and philosophy around about his coaching and what he wants to do in the game. So absolutely, I've got no doubt the next 40 minutes or so will be fascinating for people to listen to.
I'd like to take you right back, Costa, to, you know, the days of you growing up as a young boy. Was it always your aim and ambition to become a footballer? What are your earliest memories of the game in general?
Yes, it's from the beginning. Since I know myself, I wanted to be a football player. I had to struggle a lot because my father and my mother, they didn't want me to become a football player. They wanted me to graduate and to become a doctor or engineer or lawyer or something, but not football player. They were, and my father was a little bit responsible. If today I speak five languages, it's because of him, because he told me that if I was trying to become a football player, I was not going to be educated. So I, if somebody was going to make me an interview, I didn't know what to answer in Portuguese or in English or in French. So because he didn't want me to become a football player, I put all my effort on that. And I knew that I had to put that effort on my own, myself, because my father and my mother, they are very humble. My father was a taxi driver. My mother, she was working at home or other houses. And it was with two sisters. So I had to do a lot of things at home when I was young because they were away. And it was for me, football was for me something that make me feel comfortable. And I have to say to you that I remember my first World Cup that I saw. It was in Spain 82, and Portugal was not inside the competition, unfortunately. So because I'm a huge Maradona fan, I wanted Argentina to win the World Cup. But my second team was Scotland, because in Scotland there were some of the players that I grew up, Graham Souness, Kenny Douglas, Steve Archibald, Paul Sturrock, you name it. There were a lot. So I was fortunate to see Jim Leighton in Largs. So when I was young, I was watching him on television, and I was in Largs, and I was watching Jim Leighton like a young kid, like I was 10 years old. So for me, was football was always on my idea, and everything that my father made me do. I became stronger. So I became stronger. Of course, you need a little bit of luck. It's not like you are seated in your couch and waiting for luck to come to you. You have to go and search this luck. You have to work hard. So from the beginning, in general, football player was my dream. I don't know if I was not a football player, what else I would become, because I only wanted to be a football player.
Yeah. Well, your dad seemed to know something, Costa, because a career that then, of course, from Portugal, France, Italy, Spain, Russia, you know, you've played all over. I'm sure that rounded picture that your father gave you when you're a young man set you up for what career followed, having that rounded picture.
Yes, you can imagine that when I start playing it, we started at 11, 12. There are no academies, no teams until... only after 11 years old you could play. So you have to imagine that from 11 till 18, my father, if he saw one game of me, was maybe he saw one game. He never went to put me on trainings, never went to pick me up on trainings, never wake me up to go to training or to games. So he was pushing me to see if I was responsible enough to get my dream. So I thought it was very hard on me what he did, but in fact he was building my character, telling me if you want to become a football player you need to go and do it by yourself. You cannot expect me to go and put in training. Your passion should put you there, and not me driving you to the games or to trainings. It's on you. So I think he was very proud of me. He is also a proud man because he's from he was born in 1948. So still today is a little is tough, but he's proud of my career. He's proud of me. So, and I'm very happy of all, everything that he made me pass. Because if I have today a strong career as a football player, I think he was very responsible because of his the conduct that he made me go through. to become a strong person.
We're hearing there, Greg, that you know that character getting built at a young age there, it must be something that we hear a lot about when we talk about coaches and people in the game. But to hear Costa talk about that and getting that from a young age from his father, I guess kind of shows the foundations he had that created the success that followed.
Yeah, and he's talking about that luck or that success not coming from just sitting on a couch. And he's bang on. You've got to go and work from it. And by the sounds of it, his father's instilled that in him from that young age for him to look after himself and almost be kind of self-reliant. You know, if you want to be a footballer, then show us you want to be a footballer and put in the hard work, the hard graft. And you know, even as a young kid, you would need to be cleaning your own boots and getting your kit ready, you know, all that kind of thing, getting yourself organised so that you were there on time. Travel, Costa, did your dad made you travel to training and games yourself as well, or did he,
yeah,
did he take you?
If I had a game 9 o'clock, I have to wake up at 7 o'clock, and I didn't have car, no bus, we were poor, so I had to walk. So maybe two kilometres, 3 kilometres walking to the stadium, to the game, but you know, when you have the passion for the game, if you really want to do something, you don't get tired. You just want to get to arrive there. You have 1 hour and a half to enjoy, because that's pleasure. It's not a job, it's pleasure. And in the end, I was not mad with him. I would become mad with him if he didn't allow me to go to football play. I didn't care if I had to walk 5 kilometers. I just wanted to go there. So it's not like you said it now, it's funny because I have two kids. So my first kid, he wanted to be a football player. He's 20 now. He, of course, he understood that it was impossible. I told him from a certain point, I told him it's impossible for you to become a football player. Football player is not that. And it's funny because they don't take care. They don't care about the boots. They don't care about the bag. They don't know against who are they to play. What time is the training? What time is the game? It's always that. What time is my training? Me? I don't know. Hey, ma'am, did you wash my equipment? So the time has changed. But I think certain values and certain principles, they should remain. And those are the principles who are going to make you be stronger if you want to succeed in this profession. Because it's people think it's hard. Maybe you can arrive there. Sometimes it's easy to arrive there, but to maintain in a certain position, you need to do a lot of work.
Yeah, it's great when we hear this side of things, because, Costa, a lot of people listening to this podcast will be well aware of your career from obviously days of Porto and your international career. But hearing about what gets you there is what fascinates us. And those days of walking to training, you know, putting in all those hours of work. When was the first moment in your career? I know you started with Oriental in Portugal. But even before then, was there moments in your career when it was getting started that you thought all of this work I'm putting in is starting to pay off?
I think I realized that when I arrived to Monaco, and the guy responsible for that was a Scotsman. His name is John Collins. And he was very responsible for what my career was, what it was. I think he was very responsible, him and Ali Bernabia, because I played in Oriental, then I moved to Madeira. I played in two clubs in Madeira. I was second position in first year. Then I went to another team in Madeira, and we became champions. And in that period, Valencia from Spain, they signed me for 5 years contract. So I went to Valencia. And Valdano was the head coach of Valencia. And suddenly I was in the locker room with Claudio Lopez, Carpin, Ivan Campo, Ortega, Fernando, the captain of Valencia, Anglomar, Carboni. It was a fantastic atmosphere. What happened? When I was in the hotel, Valdano came to me and told me, Costa, I see that you know the game, you understand the movements in the pitch. But you are young, you come from a second division team, and really, Barcelona have Guardiola, Real Madrid have Redondo, Coruña have Mauro Silva. I want to play for the title, and I need a different player for your position. I want to keep you, but I want to loan you to Villarreal. They were in second league also that season. What do you think about that? I was thinking, I was in Portugal second division, So I had invitation from clubs in Portugal for first division, for first league, Premier League. So I've signed for Valencia, and then because there was a dispute between the president and the head coach, I was going to be in the middle. So I call my agent and say, I'm in the middle of these two guys. The president doesn't want me to go because he said that Valdano should play with the players that I give to him. Valdano said that I want different players. So in the middle, because Valdano makes the team, I'm going to be a part. So, and I want to play. So try to resolve this. I want to resign the contract. And we returned to Portugal and I signed for the first team division in Portugal. So it was tough, but the president accepted the situation that Mendes presented. And I was waiting for Porto to sign contracts when Monaco called my agent and said that they were looking to find a defensive midfielder. And my agent said, I have one perfect for you. So I went to Monaco with a fake name because Porto could not knew that I was making these trainings in Monaco. They wanted to see me. I say, okay, I go. I made the week there, and the last days that we were in Clairefontaine, in a Friday morning, I had an injury in my adductor, and I had a lot of pain in the morning. So, and we had a training in the afternoon. So I was in my room relaxing. It was time of the second training. And John Collins go inside my room. He was my father, my commandant, and Ali Bernabia. And they went there to pick me up. And they say, John, say, hey, Costa, come on. And I say, John, I can't. I feel so much pain. I can't go. I can't. They say, come on, Costa, be strong. Let's go. Hey, you are always, because I was always joking on him because of William Wallace, you know. And he told me, you are a Highlander. I say, yeah, but I have pain, I can't. And Ali Bernabia turns to him and say, hey, John, another tourist. And they left. And I was there in the bed. And they say, a tourist? I'm not a tourist. What are they saying, a tourist? No, I'm not a tourist. So I went to the physio guy, I say, please give me an injection. I need some painkiller. It's correct.
Yeah.
Strap my leg. I need to make this training because I'm not a tourist. I'm not a tourist. No, Costa, you can't. I have to go train. So I went to train. I had a lot of pain. I think I trained well. And in the end of the training, Jean Tigana called me apart and told me and asked me, Costa, I'm very pleased with your week here in Monaco. I would like to offer you a 4 years contract with Monaco. Do you want it? And I say, of course I want it. So I think if I stayed in bed, maybe we were not talking today about Champions League or.
Well.
So in the end, the pain that I had became 4 years contract, and I start my career in Monaco. I became international in Monaco. With my national team, I win my first titles in Monaco, and that was the moment I understood that to become a football player, more than the sacrifices that I did when I was young, different sacrifices presented to myself, and I needed to deal with them if I wanted to have success and have a career as a professional footballer. So I think that was the moment for me.
It's an incredible story, isn't it, Greg? And I'm fascinated by the what seems like a very subtle coaching technique in there, just dropping that in another tourist here. Do you think they knew exactly the sort of response they'd get from somebody like Costa?
I was thinking exactly the same thing. They've just managed. Have they managed to get a reaction from him? And he's shown his worth, and he's proved himself in that afternoon session that he talks about because of just that one liner. And it's clever. There's clever ways of managing people and getting that reaction from people. And, you know, as Costa rightly says, maybe it would have been so different had he chosen, no, I can't do it. I'll lie in my bed this afternoon. And then, you know, they build up a different perception of him. Maybe don't offer him 4 years. Maybe it becomes 1 year or 2 years because they still have a concern about him. So, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I'm just interested to know as well, though, what his fake name was, what he called himself. You said you made a fake name.
Yeah, my name was Pintos. They call me Pintos. They put Pintos, make trainings in Monaco, because Porto, they wanted to sign me. And if they know that I was in Monaco doing a test, they were not going to be happy. So if that test fails, and they knew when I arrived to Portugal, maybe Porto say, oh, we wanted to sign you, then you went to Monaco to make test.
Of course.
My agent make a fake name, but John was very important, even to make my pro license, my badges in Scotland. It was the first guy that I called, and John was for me as a young boy. I remember like today. I arrived to Monaco, and I was obliged to go to his house to eat, and it was strange for me because Portuguese guys, we eat at 9 o'clock, and John always 7 o'clock. I had to be at his home to eat. And I said, John, 7 o'clock, I'm going to be hungry during the night. Costa, you have to become a professional football player. And you are going to eat every day. You are going to come to my house to eat before your wife is coming to Monaco, because I want you to save your money. You need to save money. If for me, it was John, Susan, and now they are not kids anymore. The kids that he had, unbelievable. I miss them a lot.
Yeah. Nice story.
You spoke about that moment, Costa, where the contract gets put in front of you at Monaco, 4 years. I guess everything that you learned at Monaco, what was that like for an experience? I know you played under, you know, people know about Claude Puel being at Monaco, for example, but what did you learn in that spell at Monaco?
So it was for me very important to understand, and I think it's important for the managers today and the directors today of Monaco. What type of player do you want for your team? You are talking about Monaco, nightlife, luxury, everything that you want, you get it. So my first good decision of my life was call my girlfriend and say, if you want to stay with me, you need to come and live with me in Monaco. I cannot live here alone. If I live here alone, we are going to be in a different path. It's not possible. So why? Because you don't have pressure. Supporters, they don't press you. At that time, today, maybe a little bit. No reporters. If you had one reporter by training once a week, Monaco was for me a proof of what can I do in an environment that everything is easy. Even winning money, no paying taxes, zero. So what do I want for my career? Do I think that if I sign 4 years contract, okay, it's enough? When I finish here, I go to Portugal, I know to another club. So do I go and live a different life that is not a life of a football player? Because nobody says Minas in Monaco. You can go out at 3 o'clock in the morning. Nobody tell you nothing. No, they don't care. It's football. It's the prince loves very much football, and I'm very glad. He's a fantastic person. But the reality is that you don't have too many supporters. We didn't have too many supporters in that period. We had supporters, but not like Marseille, like Paris, like Bordeaux, like Lyon. They were passionate, but okay, it's a different type of supporters. So for me, it was my first learning process of in an environment of everything is easy. How do I behave? What do I have to do to become stronger? So it's a little bit like that.
Certainly, character building, isn't it, Greg? When you hear that, like, Costa is well aware of the challenges that were going to be presented to him. Living in a place like Monaco and maybe having that, but you can see here he's aware of what those challenges are and how best to address them for his career.
Imagine that when I arrived there to Monaco, I played the Super Cup final and we beat Nice 5-2, and I was in the bench and I came on at 6 minutes because a player got injured. And my first game against Bordeaux, Jean Tigana called me and say, Costa, today I have a job for you. I say, yes, coach. You have to mark Jean-Pierre Papin. I say, what? Jean-Pierre Papin. I was watching Jean-Pierre Papin when I was a young boy. I was coming from second division. So to Marc Jean-Pierre Papin, the first task that he gave me, I say, my legs were shaking. Oh, Jean-Pierre Papin. Then in the game, it was. I don't say it was okay 100% because he lost 1-0, but he didn't score. He didn't score. But okay, but I'm not that type of person that sometimes, you know, you have these guys, what's the score? Oh, it was 0-0 when I came off after they lost. He's not part of the team. He's only part of the team if everything is okay. No, we lost. Yeah. But for my first task, I was happy with my performance because he didn't do what he normally does, score goals. So yeah. After those three games, I played my first game in Champions League against Sporting. And that's when I realized that I had to work four times more to become a footballer in a French Premier League and to become successful. Because I understood that, okay, I had my dreams, maybe I play okay, but to play at that level, I needed to go and work harder. And I spent 4 months, 6 months, 5 months making only bench. I was always going on the team, but no play, bench. The player that goes out at the last time from the team, and I start to play after in January, and I never quit the team. But that period for me was very important. And what Greg said before, that they were testing me to see my character in Clairefontaine, John and Ali Bernabia. What happened is during that period, I felt the love and the help of all these old players that were in team, Barthez, Thomas, and Doran, John, Bernabia, they were always helping me to become better because they knew that I wanted to succeed. But this is something that if you don't understand and you go to a club like Monaco, there are not many in the world. Maybe it's unique. You probably go. You don't succeed. You see Henri, fantastic mentality. Trezeguet, fantastic mentality. So Rafa Marquez, fantastic mentality. All the young players that they were there that go to other clubs, they had also that mentality because they understood that, okay, it's Monaco, but our life is football players, Sagnol. So there were a lot.
There's no coincidence, is there, Greg, that all these people that Costa's talking about there, that's that common theme, that mentality that they clearly have created there.
That mentality they've created as well. But, you know, just looking and thinking back to Costa what he said earlier about, you know, the upbringing or that grounding that his father gave him has obviously served him well then at the club. You know, that kind of hard work ethic. And you know what? If you want to get yourself off the bench and if you want to play that game, then he talked about, you know, working hard for that 5-6 month period, harder than it would normally work, in order to get into that first team, and really, I suppose, reflecting on his, you know, his own performances as well to get better and better. And we've talked about it again before, Lewis, you know, being within an environment, you know, he said there was love and help within the team culture there. And that's, you know, if you work hard, that love and the help will keep coming, you know, and one complements the other. And it's obviously led to great things for Costa.
Yeah, and of course, while you were at Monaco, Costa, was when you got your first international appearance for Portugal, wasn't it? It was in 1998. I guess when that moment comes around, all sorts of emotions must be going through your head when you get to represent your country.
Of course, it was. Well, yesterday I was talking to, I was making a Zoom interview for some kids under 15 that from Oriental. The manager asked me to spoke to him. Because I come from Oriental, so they can understand that it's possible to go from that club to a different level. It's all depends on your mentality. And okay, you need to have a little bit of luck, but you need to work hard. So, of course, I wanted to play for the national team. I remember like today, we were in the hotel, we were going to play, and Jean Tigana came from in the lobby of the hotel with some papers, and he said, Costa. I say, Jose, call me Jose. I say, we coach. God, they must be crazy. Why, coach? You just get selected for the national team. Congratulations. And by the way, you are going to play tonight. So I was very happy, but at the same time, I was a little bit nervous because I'm probably the only player in Portugal, I think. I'm not sure. So I think that never play for under 10, 11, 15. I go directly to the first national team, 18. And I knew all the players, but I knew them by television. So I was not sure how are they going to receive me. And of course, I didn't thought about that in that day, because when he told me I was going to play, I was very happy. But playing for your national team is something unbelievable. It's a different level, you know. You have the club level, but then you become international. You play with the best from your country. So it was also a learning process, because I went to see and to train with Figo, with Ricosta, with Josh Costa, Bahia. So all players that they were in already at a big level. So it was important for me. It was also a good way of growing.
Yeah, of course. And what followed for your international career, as I mentioned at the start of this podcast, Costa, you know, over 50 caps. You an instrumental part of, you know, the team that made it to the final in Euro 2004. And I just want to touch on that and working under Luis Felipe Scolari with these people that you talk about. What was that experience like at the finals in 2004, going through that? Did that develop you a lot as a player at that point? For, you know, was that a big, huge experience for your career?
Yeah, it was 2004. It's something that all the players that played that final, that they were in the group, they will never forget, because we lost the first game in the last one against the same team at home, where a country was behind us. It was impressive when we go out from the academy towards the stadium. Boats, horses, helicopters, motors, cars, people walking, running. It was fantastic. And in the end, we didn't deliver the title to them. But Portugal was, in that period, we were working very good. We went in semifinals in 2000 against France, and we were knocked out by that penalty, the golden goal from Zidane. Then the year, in 2004, we went to the final, and you play against the best. I remember when we play against Holland, we were in semifinals. We were winning 2-0, and then they score one goal. Well, actually, we scored. Jorge Andrade scored in our own goal. And suddenly, I was looking forward, and I didn't see strikers. See, where are my strikers? Where are my wingers? They disappeared. So Scolari put central defenders, midfielders, and they were putting Overmars, Robben, Van Nistelrooy, Van Hooijdonk, Edgars, Davids, Seedorf. And I was here they come, boys, get ready. So it was the last 15-20 minutes of the game, the hardest one. But at the end, you understand, you feel that, okay, this makes also part of the game. So it's sad that we didn't want this Euro 2004, but lucky for us, this new generation just won in 2016. So we are all today, we are a little bit released, because I think we deserve already a title, because we play very good. We arrived to in 3 years in a row in the two semifinals and one final. So today I'm happy that Portugal finally has this European title. But it was very important. When you play this type of competitions, you play against the best ones. So it's always very intense. It's you don't forget that you have millions behind you. So your father, your mother, your cousin, your neighbor, everybody. So you are representing them. So yeah, you need to put that enthusiasm and the heart when you are defending your country.
Did you feel pressure, Costa, knowing there were so many people behind you, so many people eager for you to win and be successful? Did you feel pressure because of that?
No, Craig. Actually, I didn't feel that pressure. I wanted to give that title to them. I wanted to win, but not the pressure. We knew that. So Mourinho brought, I think, to Portugal, and I think to the world, a different type of mentality of the game. And I had ambition, but when he arrived to Porto, he gave us more ambition, more responsibility. Every day he asked more and more and more. And when you have this type of trainings and this type of mentality for a few months, for 1 year, after everything, it's like a rolling machine. So you don't feel the pressure; you just want to deliver. So it was important also for that in that period for the player that he was coaching in Porto, but not the pressure to deliver to the people. I wanted to have the pleasure to give them, but without pressure.
Yeah. Then of course, you know, we've spoke about, you know, you've touched on Mourinho there, but when we look at you making that move to Porto, of course, before everything that we just spoke about with the international career, working under Jose Mourinho at Porto must have been some experience. You've touched on some of the things that, you know, he changed the mentality of you know, football in the country. But playing with him at Porto and obviously everything you achieved there, what was that like for you?
Fantastic. I think Porto is a special club. It's a club with a very tough mentality. So imagine if you draw a game, you cannot go on dinner with your wife away outside. If you draw, I don't speak about losing. So they are very demanding, the supporters. It's tough to play there. You need to become real hard, strong in your head to play for Porto. You can be a star in another club, but when you arrive to Porto, some stars they pass very 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 bad. So I think he make a very group of strong players with ambition, players with we didn't have too many titles, so we create this hunger for to become to go and search this trophy. So I think the final against Celtic, it's a funny one, because when I was making the A license, one day I pick up a cab to go to Largs, and the taxi driver was a Celtic supporter, and I said to him, he said, "Hey, where you come from?" I said, "I was with Manish," and he said, "We came from Portugal." "Oh, yeah, I remember. I was in Seville. I lost against those bastards of Porto." I said to Manish, "Hey, don't say nothing, because he's going to throw it out from the car." That's so funny. But I was saying Mourinho, because we won the UEFA League, that brought us a different confidence for the Champions League. So and he was always trying to pick up a certain detail so we can put his team better. And I don't know why, but I don't know why coaches they pick on me for those type of things, but I remember that we were playing Real Madrid and Santiago Bernabeu, and I had two yellow cards, me, Josh Costa, and Manish, and the coach before he said, "No, you don't play those games. You are not going to play that game, because after we are already qualified, and we don't know against who we are going to play, and I cannot miss those three players, so we are not you." George and Manish, you don't go to Real Madrid. But I made a dinner party on my birthday, invited my teammates, and we play against one team in Portugal, and we draw 2-2, and he was not happy. So he picked me to become the example for the team, because he knew that he could say everything he wanted to me, that I was going to train and play. And he told me that you are not going to be part of the team in January. I asked the man at the present already to sell you. It's a disgrace. You are the player are going out with you and the night drink, to this, to that. I said, what is he talking about? Nothing happened like that. And remember, because of you, we are not going to win the Champions League. You are going to win the league, maybe, but the Champions League, you are going in a few years, you are going to look back, and you are going to say, "Oh, it's I'm responsible for not winning Champions League." He was talking like that in the locker room, and I say, "I cannot. It's not possible." He's talking to me like that, and in the end, he was only saying to the team, "Hey, get ready. the difficult teams are coming. We passed the first group, but we cannot relax. So if he picks some, maybe a player who's a little bit more shy or more afraid, the method didn't pass well. But because it was me, he gave me all this speech. He was putting me playing, and he was coming to me, Kosta, very good work, Kosta. And I didn't want to speak with him. So for 1 month and a half, I didn't speak with him. And before, I was talking with him all day because I discussed tactics with him, why we played like this, etc. He liked that. And so he made me see some different aspects of the game that at before it was a little bit more difficult to see. He brought a different type of mentality to the game, in my opinion.
Yeah, you hear about some techniques that coaches use, Greg, similar to that, and it's an awareness about the personality, the people that you're dealing with, because he knows that somebody like Kosta, yeah, like he says, a month or so went by where they didn't really speak because of that, but he knew the character that Kosta had, that he could speak to him like that and get that reaction out of him.
You've got to, otherwise it backfires and doesn't work, doesn't it? And whilst he's doing that to Kosta, what's he doing to the other 16, 18, 20 players that he's dealing with?
The young lads, they were the same.
Exactly.
He's doing that because they say that was his son. If he's doing that to his son, imagine me. Oh, you must be careful. So he passed the message perfectly.
Yeah, it's a very it's clever man management, isn't it? And that's a real skill to be able to know how to handle a group of people ultimately at the end of the day, Kosta, isn't it? It's not just footballers, your personalities and emotions.
I think the manager, more than become a manager of the drills, of the tactics, I think he needs to manage his voice. The leadership is very important. Mm-hmm. If he controls his players, if he makes them believe in what he's saying, maybe he can achieve what he's playing for his team. So different type of man management was Scolari. Scolari was much more friendly, like a father. He was all cuddling and hugs. And if somebody speak bad about you, maybe he's going then punch this guy because he was, it's my son, you don't. It was different. So they use different techniques. And it was funny that Mourinho one time he told me, because he had a problem with the player in Porto, and I went to defend this player, and he was not happy. And he said, Kosta, you cannot defend this player. I made everything to get a reaction from him. I humiliate him, I provoke him, I give him love, I give him attention. And nothing. I didn't have a response from him. So he was also trying to see what type of attitude he could use to make his player working better for him. So it's something that today I still remember, because you cannot treat every player the same, because they are all different.
Do you think about that, Kosta, when in your position now as a manager? Do you think about the approaches and the techniques that these managers had on you as a player?
I think it's one advantage that ex-football players had when they want to become managers. We saw so many things inside the change room, the behaviors, everything. I can see a player when he is with me, because I was a player before, so I can see it. So after, you need other things outside of the environment of football. You need that. It complements you. But those things that you leave there, how is going to react? You see how a player reacts under pressure. If he has some pressure, if you ask him a task, they say, oh, I saw this in 98 with this player, the same reaction. So he's not going to do well. So these type of things, of course, I try to remember, and I try to bring them to me, because those were things that I lived as a football player, and I think today, even if the game is changed, there are certain behaviors that the football players still have. So if I could get them for me in a good way, I'm going to use it, of course.
I just want to ask as well, we've spoke about Mourinho and the way that he handled you personally, but when you go on and you lift the Champions League, of course, you've got a team of, you know, yourself, Manish, Deco, brilliant football players. Did he make you all feel close as a group as well? Was that part of his management? Was it a very close group?
Well, you know, that's our wives, they were not very happy with us at that period, because we won eight titles in 2 years. But we're never at home. No, but not only that. We go train at training was 10 o'clock. So at 8 o'clock, I was leaving 8:30. I was leaving the home. He was obliged to take the breakfast in the club, and because I was living far, I had some traffic. So I leave early. After training, after the practice, normally sometimes we went to have a lunch. But we didn't say, hey, let's go have lunch all together. Well, maybe me, Manish and Deco, we go lunch in this restaurant. But suddenly, the door opens and three more appears and four more appears. And suddenly, the whole team was there. But this was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. And we arrive home. We leave 8 o'clock in the morning and we arrive 7 o'clock in the evening. So there was a very good ambience in the team, and he knew that. He knew that. He always told us, "Hey, you don't have to be friends outside of football. Inside, in the pitch, you need to become friends. Outside, okay, one likes this, the other likes the other thing, but in the end, we are all day together." So it was fantastic, and I had only three groups like that. My group of Monaco, when we became French champions, they were like this, all together. It was unbelievable. And these two groups of Porto. And for a reason, we became champions. So, okay, we were friends inside the field and outside of the field. Yes, he knew that. And he knew that we go to eat. One day, he even make training at, we never train in the afternoon. So we trained Wednesday morning, and we were in the, after training, the assistant went to the locker room because he didn't went in the locker room. He knocked the door because they were not allowed to go inside the locker room, not even the coach. He had to ask first. And they say, Mourinho sent something for the group. So he put a paper saying, training in the afternoon. So everybody was mad. Training in the afternoon is incredible. After lunch, so we went to have lunch, everybody. So we arrived to the ground to make some rondos and to have only massage and spa. You knew that, okay, they go, they train, they go after, they go to eat, maybe they drink wine, maybe they, I don't know what they do. Okay, I will take care of them. So he was a lot concerned with his players, and he tried to prove to give them the perfect environment.
Yeah, it's fascinating when you hear a manager like that, Greg, and the different techniques that they use. I mean, you hear from a player firsthand what that does to a group. It's incredibly insightful.
It's aye, and it's just those wonderful little subtle techniques that a manager has used or a head coach has used to get the very best from that group. Now, Costa's already spoken about, you know, it's no fluke. There must be some kind of correlation between close-knit groups and winning teams, you know, and being that, you know, coming out with the trophies at the end of the season. We've all probably read books about Mourinho, haven't we, or what Mourinho's up to, and to hear that firsthand and to hear just how, I suppose, he fine-tuned that group, if you like, to get the very, very best from them and to make sure, as Costa says, that just that one day, they just didn't go for that meal to drink the wine, you know, just maybe gave them that extra percent for a game at the weekend or whatever was coming up.
Yeah, I'm fascinated as well, Costa, just because, you know, particularly the Champions League final must have been a special occasion for you going up against your old team in Monaco. What does a manager like Mourinho say to his group of players before a game of that magnitude? You know, when you're going for league titles, Champions League titles, what does he say to you?
Oh, it was. He told us that first thing that he said to us was, "Hey, we are not going to play the final. We are going to win the final. We don't play finals. We win finals. First of all. Second, he said, "Hey, we beat Man United. We beat Lyon. We beat Coruña. If we don't beat Monaco, we are going to be another Champions League team that arrives to the final. So if you want to succeed, if you want your names to become history, you need to win this competition. Plus, last season we won the UEFA League Cup, and everybody say, oh yeah, okay, UEFA League, everybody can win UEFA League. You win now Champions League, you are going to prove that we didn't only win UEFA League, we win UEFA League and Champions League. So he was confident because we were a bunch of players that we were responsible, organized. We tasted success, and we wanted to with that taste in our mouth. So the opportunity presented to us in the final against Monaco. They had a good team also, but we were stronger mentally and as a team. I think we were much better. And in the end, we were capable to beat them 3-0. And I think for all the Champions League games that we made, we only lost against Real Madrid. And I remember before the game against Real Madrid, Mourinho, because a lot of players, it was the first game against Real Madrid or the Champions League. And he said, "Hey, first of all, I want to say that if any one of us, of you, autograph from the players of Real Madrid. I have little books, notebooks in my office. I can give you, put in your shorts, and don't play. Just ask him an autograph, just to provoke us." And and then he said another thing. He said, "You know what Real Madrid players have more than you guys?" And everybody was looking to each other and say, "No, money in that bank account."
Yeah,
because the rest, they have two legs, two arms, one head. They run. So it's up to you guys if you want to really make history. So it was those were this type of conversations with us. But he was very confident because he knew that we were loyal to what he prepared for the game. So if the other team was better than us, he was the first to say, "Okay, I lost against one team that they were better than us." But actually, we were better than most of the teams. We suffered a little bit in Manchester, a little bit, but then the game was tight. So it was, they had to, after they scored, they didn't attack more. So we attack, and we scored in the last minute. So that was not, we were not the type of team that we get scared or we wait for the opponent or, no, we knew what we want. Everybody trusted on his teammate. It was very important. I knew, Deco knew that, and Manish, that they can go to the attack because, and they can lose the ball because behind I was there and the other two central defenders to compensate their mistakes. This is teamwork. So he made us understand that if you want Deco to succeed, you need to do the dirty job. If you need to Ferreira, the right defender, goes up and support the attack, you need to close his flank because if you lose the ball, it's from there that they are going to attack. So he makes us as a team with a good balance and good structure and good confidence.
Yeah, incredible when you hear stuff like this, Greg. I know we could keep going on. One thing I want to talk about, Costa, is, you know, as your playing career, you know, matures and develops later on, and of course you go to Atletico Madrid and La Liga, we've not even touched on some of these parts, but as you are developing as a player, how soon are you thinking about coaching in the back of your mind? Was it always something you were thinking about?
Oh, I always say that I didn't want to become a manager. I told already this to Greg. And Mourinho was, when I was in Atalanta, I was going there to Inter to see his practice. And one day he was telling me, "Hey, you need to become a manager. You need to become a manager. I help you. You go to Coverciano. I speak with the guys there. You go there because you are there in Atalanta. They are not making you play. You are not training. You have problems there. But in your free time, you can go there and make this." And Balotelli was coming out. And I say to him, "Look, coach, that's why I don't want to become a manager. If I had Balotelli in my team, I'm going to smash him. The guy doesn't understand. He has so much talent that he doesn't care about his talent. I don't want to become a manager coach. Say, hey, you are going to, today you think like this, but I think in the future you are going to change. Don't forget what I'm saying to you. And I only become a manager because I don't know. I think when they called me to coach a team, I pick up the team in March. And I said that already, Greg knows that already, that the players that I found there in the club, they are the reason that I'm a coach. Because they told me, hey, you don't want to become a manager, but they give you the opportunity, go and try. If you don't like, you say, guys, I tried, I don't like, I don't want it. I went, I tried, and I loved it. But because those guys, they were fantastic. I told them that the way is from there. This is the path that we have to follow. And okay, coach. So if I pick up a team that the guys didn't care, they were not educated. Okay, it's enough for me. I don't want this anymore in my life. But no, they were eager. Coach, I want to learn more about this process. And I remember everything. I didn't have my badge. I had the notions. So yes, to play in this system, we need to train like this because that's the way I was training. With Mourinho, I remember a lot of things, so I pick up a few things from Mourinho, another things from Scolari, another things from Puel, some other things from Tigana, and I try to adjust to my style. So, and these players, they were responsible for my level of to become a coach.
And did you get the same buzz from it straight away, Costa? Did you get the same, you know, the buzz that everyone talks about, the coaching, you know, that kind of lying awake at night, thinking about formations, thinking about styles of play, thinking about, you know, who to pick in that team and how to deal with things? Did you just get love straight away, or did it take a bit of time to build?
No, you know, I was always a very frontal, direct, and precise person.
Yeah.
You know? At the beginning, I don't know the players, the character of the players. How are they going to react? How am I going to put the drills in order? I had luck to have a very good assistance with me, and suddenly, you know, it was like a puzzle. The pieces, they were poop inside my head, and things, they start to become easy for me.
Clear, yeah.
That part. The part that it was not clear for me was to understand that when you are a player, your work depends on you, because if you don't work hard, you don't have. When you become a manager, the success, it doesn't depend on you. It's not on you. It's a lot of things combined that can make you go to. You cannot control certain things. As a player, you can control. As a manager, sometimes you cannot control them, and yeah. It was this gap that I found that when I was coaching my second team, Passos Ferreira, and that's why when I go out from that team, I decided to make my badges, and that's when I arrived to Scotland. So I understand that something was missing in my coaching path, and I needed to attend classes, to see, to listen, to share, to see what also the perspectives that I don't say ex-players gave it to me, but even players that people that doesn't come from football, but they like football and they have also ideas that they are important for the game. So. It was, for me, what I thought it was, I was not expecting to feel so happy doing that kind of job.
Yeah.
But I had in my head, there were some small pieces of the puzzle. I think I found them now. I feel myself now stronger. Now, after the field is going to see if it's true or not, but it was very important that period for me. Yeah, growing out from the club and start doing these 2 years, then I make the B license, the A license, mm-hmm. and after the pro license, for me, it was very important.
Yeah, because you speak of now as well, Costa, about having good opportunity between obviously finishing your A license with us and then doing the pro license. And I know you obviously did a job as a head coach when you were on the pro license, and then when that job came to an end, you thought it was important then to concentrate on your education and working with your staff that you talk about and putting together, you know, your philosophy, your Bible, so that you're now in a better footing to take that forward.
Yes, you know, I finished the season, and I had two possibilities: finish my pro license or continue coaching. And it's difficult because the clubs are coming to you. They make you offers, financial very good. Some others with a good financial project, but you know, when you feel that you are empty of something and you need to be completed, so it was very difficult, as I told you before, to say no to some clubs.
Yeah.
But at the end, for me, I think it was the most important, because I understood most of the things that I did wrong in the past. First, I understood that I need to become more clear in certain aspects of my game. And I understand that with my assistance, we needed to change a few ways of communication, and we needed to build a different type of strategy for what we wanted in the future. So This past year, I was making the pro license, but I was watching games with him, talking about a lot of things, players, even coaches. I went to see some clubs. So it was for me. I think I make a wise decision. So
yeah, time well
spent. It was very important. Also, you know, you arrived there. You spoke about that in the beginning of the conversation. I had a very good relationship with the first group, of course, but because of this second period, I was more time consecutive in the events. Mm-hmm. Even that was very good for me, because you could listen different things from everybody, and one guy says something, say, oh, this goes directly for this type of situation that I was thinking about. So also the sharing that I had with them was very, very important. So it's the same that, like what was in the game. After the class, we go to the hotel, we stay 7-8 guys there talking, laughing, telling stories, sharing about some things. And this, in the end, you become stronger, because your knowledge is going to become better. So for me, it was the best decision that I made. Of course, I wanted to be in the pitch in coaching. I missed that, but I was a little bit empty, and I needed to become completed. And I today I feel much better. It's not because I have the badge. It's because everything that I heard in this pro license, in a way, they respond for a few doubts that I had in my coaching, and mm-hmm. this is important.
Yeah, and that's helped.
It's fascinating, isn't it, Greg, when earlier on in the podcast, Costa talked about, you know, obviously beating Celtic in the final and stuff like that, and then coming to Scotland to do his coaching badges, getting a hat on the way to Largs, and the man not realising he's actually criticising two portal players in the back. Coming over here to do your badges, Costa, was it a special experience for you coming over to Scotland? You spoke about John Collins right at the start of this as well. There is a good Scotland link in here, isn't there?
At the beginning, I said, ooh, now I go there. John arranged that to me. First, the language. Ooh, I had to, everything is in English. Then the accent, because sometimes you speak, I need 4 seconds to put two words in order, and then I complete the sentence. So, but at the end, it's also it's also you are growing, also you are improving your language, you are sharing your sharing and receiving information. So everybody that I spoke about it, that work that was also in Scotland making their badges, they spoke very good about it. So it was also fantastic for me to see that the staff, they knew that English was not my first language, and they always tried to help me. Say, Costa, if you cannot explain it by words, just do it on the field. Explain in the field what do you want, and this makes you more comfortable. If you feel at ease, I was very well received by everybody. So when you are received like that, so sometimes the doubt and the fear, they go away. So if it was a little bit of tension or pressure because of the language, okay, maybe I say, oh, maybe it's better I take it in Portuguese because it's my fluent language. But well, I was very happy, and I think it was a very good decision. So Mourinho was there, Villas-Boas was there, Nuno Espírito Santo was there, Caixinha. They all gave me very good information about it. So and others. So at the end, I'm very happy with my choice. Really, really happy.
Yeah, good.
No, it paints a kind of full picture. It brings it around nicely, full circle, to talk about those early days with John Collins and obviously experiencing that final beating Celtic. It's just nice to hear that, Costa, from you.
John, when I beat Celtic, he was mad. John Costa, what you did? John, you are my friend or no? You are not my friend. But you beat Celtic, John, it's life. So I was always speaking on him because I was always saying to him, I'm a Rangers fan. So just only to
I like scored against them as well.
Yes, I
scored. Rangers fan, you scored against them too.
Champions League. You know that game, I had an injury, and we became champions. And I had an injury before of the starting of the Champions League in my knee, and it was 5 or 6 months injury knee stopped. And I say to the physio and the well, we get together, and I say, coach, I want to train every day, morning and afternoon. And I want to play the last game of Champions League. Yeah, but Costa, it was going to be a little bit tight. Your knee maybe is not good. I want to play the last game. I worked so hard last season to play Champions League. If I don't play one game of this year, I'm going to, it will be, for me, it will not be possible. I want to play. I will train morning, afternoon, in rehab. Sunday, Saturday, I don't care. The objective, the target is to play the last game. And I play the last game. If you see the image, I still have my knee strapped, and I scored. So it was fantastic for me. It was fantastic for me. Okay, we didn't pass, neither us or Rangers, passed Galatasaray and Sturm Graz, but I think we finished all with the same points in the.
It was a tough league.
The group,
yeah.
But I was happy with myself because I played Champions League with Monaco, so I worked so hard for that, and it was. It was very good. So, Celtic supporters in the group, they cannot be angry with me because I also scored against Rangers. So, it's a tie.
Very balanced of you, Costa. Yeah. A good balance you struck there. Yeah. I mean, Greg, so much we've spoken about here. It's been a pleasure having you on, Costa. I mean, we've heard about your experiences. You've incorporated it nicely into talking about what you've learned now that, of course, you are in
coaching.
It's... We could keep going on. I would love to keep going through everything in your career, but Greg, I guess you any kind of final points?
No, the last one, and I'm maybe going to throw this back to Costa, because the one that fascinates me and I know about Costa Lewis is that he's not necessarily, given the stature of his playing experience and, you know, what he's done in the game, you know, you would imagine Costa would get an opportunity to go to a big club and manage at a big club, but... Yeah. I think I'm right in saying, Costa, that's not what you want to do necessarily. You would like to start with a lower league club and work your way up.
Yeah, I'm not hurry. You know, I'm not hurry. I want to build. I want to have good foundations in my work. Of course, if you go to work in a big club, you have to know that you are going to work with big egos. And you need to understand and to know, are you ready for those egos? Because I also have my ego. So sometimes I say that a player sometimes they respond differently to the type of manager that they have, and sometimes they look also to his past. And sometimes I thought that if I go to a club, a different club, higher club, because I was very demanding as a player and I achieved a good level as a player, I thought at the beginning that I was looking to my player and say, hey, I want you to go there. But sometimes you need to understand also that maybe those players, they don't have it immediately what you require, what is required to arrive there. And if you don't understand that, then you have a shock. And maybe your career doesn't start well because of that. So I want to win twice or three times, four times, five times more what I win in, as a player, as a manager. But I think that I need to go in a different scale. I cannot go immediately. I could not go at that time immediately to that type of club. I didn't think that I was prepared to that. And today I feel much more prepared, really, much more prepared, and I understand better a lot of things. And because I study a lot of coaches, I didn't study only Mourinho, I study Simeone, Klopp, Guardiola, I like to see Ancelotti. So, why? Because they are all different. I understand now that the game changed, the players change also, because they are not the same players that I was in 2004 and 2003. It's a different type of player. So you need to readapt to these players. And to readapt to these players is you need to leave, not all, but parts of your past you cannot bring with you for this new generation. They will not understand, and you are going to build some friction between you and them. So you need to readapt to that time, to this type of mentality today. And so I think it's, for me, I think it's better like that. So yeah. Start for that type, in those type of clubs, bring mentality to those clubs, because you find a lot of young players and players that, as me and some other players from Porto, they have also ambition and they are waiting for somebody that also believe on them and give them that anger to realize their dreams.
Yeah.
In a big club, you have a lot of vice already. You have a lot of money. You know, I heard stories that it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I cannot imagine that those type of things could happen in the game. I think now with the pandemic, coronavirus, because the money is not going to be so fluent as it was in the past years, maybe we are going to have a better situation, because it's too much money. When I was in Monaco one time, I saw players with 18 years old with Lamborghini.
Yeah.
18 years old, 19 years old. So, you know, when I bought my first car, my top car, I had 27 years old, 28.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's today the money arrives so quickly to the players, to the young players, that you see players that with 23, 24 years old, that they receive so much money, they don't have no more ambition. They're just collecting. You know?
It's interesting. You speak to other coaches, Lewis, at some other clubs, you know, and they say because of exactly what Costa said there, you know, players at 18, 19 with big fancy cars and, you know, multi-millionaires, they've not even played in the first team.
And
discipline becomes an issue. You know, their timekeeping, well, how can you find players and, well, they're not bothered if they get fined, so therefore discipline becomes an issue. But you're right, Costas. It's just reflected in so many good values and such a wonderful career that, you know, that we hope now he kicks on and is a really successful career, as he says, and wins even more.
Absolutely.
As a coach or a manager, yeah.
That's my target. It will be difficult, of course, but it's better like that. I prefer a difficult target than an easy target. So
absolutely,
we'll see.
Just as long as you don't end up punching anyone like Balotelli, Costa, like you said.
Today you need to read the situation quicker. And I was telling to Craig and to Andy in the pro license final speech, I had an assistant that I need. I like to have an assistant in my technical staff, a clever one, a slick one, the guy that understands immediately. This guy put his feet inside the changing room or the pitch, and he just has to say to me, Costa, this guy didn't sleep. Costa, this guy that understands you know, because the it's like today I see my kids and I think about myself when I was younger. No, they think that we never did those type of things, that they are clever. Oh, I did this the first time. No, I passed on that period. No, so what are you going to try to hide me? To hide from me? It's the same today, me and my kids and me and my father. It was the same. My father was telling me, how does he know that? Yes, now I understand it. So punch a guy. It will be difficult. But there are a lot of Balotellis out there. You need to be careful.
Costa, Greg said it, but we just want to wish you all the very best with the future in coaching. It's truly been a pleasure having you on. Greg will agree. And I'm sure it's been a good pleasure for him having you on the pro license and the A&B, of course. And all the very best, and thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me here. It was a pleasure for me. I hope my English was not a problem.
English was perfect. Your English was perfect.
But for me, it was a lovely time spent here.
That's all we have time for in this week's edition of the Scottish Football Coaching Podcast. Feel free to send us your feedback, your ideas for coaching topics you want us to cover, and to get in touch, visit @ScottishFA on Twitter or email info@scottishfa.co.uk.